I've been preaching a series. It's on great questions in the Bible. You know, when you preach on a series, it would be hard for a member to say, he's preaching to me. Well, how in the world am I preaching at you if I'm preaching a series? Amen, that's good. I'm just preaching a series on great questions in the Bible. And I've got two today that I want all y'all to listen to, but I only can preach one at a time. Because I know y'all. Y'all can't take but one sermon at a time. So I'm preaching tonight, this morning, on Psalm 78. And I want you to go to verse 19, just one verse, and then hold your hand to that chapter, because I'm going to examine the text of this chapter. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm preaching on tonight. I guarantee you, everybody in this room has asked the question I'm preaching tonight. I believe you have. I'm going to preach tonight on this sermon. It's a great question in the Bible. When we ask, why? How many's ever asked why? Everybody in this room, if you be honest. And tonight, I'm preaching that tonight, so I hope you'll come back to hear it. But this message this morning, I hope will stir your heart. It sure stirred my heart. Look at verse number 19. If you're there, say amen. Psalm 78. Yea, they spake against God. They said, And here's what they said. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? 95% of Americans believe in God or believe in a universal force. I'm one of them. 67% define God as an all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe. And I'm definitely in that. I am on record today that he is able. Ephesians 3:20 said God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Today, I want to examine thoroughly this question, the implications of it. Though it was thousands of years ago, I would say to you today, it's more relevant today than ever. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I'll give you three quick, brief thoughts. First of all, how stirring the demonstration of God's ability. Would you look back in the text to the first part of chapter 78 with me for a moment? Look in verse 78, verse 3, and I'm just going to take you through this passage, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Look at verse number 12. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. I'm interested in this little phrase, in the field of Zoan. Now that field of Zoan, if you don't know what that was, I think I'll educate you. That is where Aaron and Moses had their confrontations with Pharaoh, in that field. It was in that field Moses told him to let my people go. And it was in that field that was proclaimed there was going to be some miraculous events in the land of Egypt. That word marvelous means miraculous. I want to say to you today, it stirs me. I want all you to know we have a miraculous God. He's marvelous because he's miraculous. Has he done a miracle for you? You say, well, I can't think of one. What about the day when your dirty, filthy soul was in sin and he reached down lower than you were and pulled you up out of sin? I say that's miraculous. I'm going somewhere. I hope you're ready. First of all, I want to talk about God's power. Look at verse 13. He divided the sea. I remember a story. You young people, listen to this one. This story, I read about this story. It's a good story. His little boy went to Sunday school one day, and his teacher was teaching about Moses taking the children of Israel across the Red Sea. So he came home, and he came home with a smile, and his mom was kind of curious. Well, what'd you learn today? He said, well, I learned about Moses crossing the Red Sea. She said, well, what'd your teacher say? Well, here's how it happened, Mom. Moses went behind enemy lines, captured all the children of Israel and freed them. Then he built a pontoon boat or pontoon bridge over the Red Sea. And then when Pharaoh was getting ready to, he came across there with his tanks across that pontoon bridge, and Moses sent dive bombers and blew them to bits. And his mother looked at him, said, the Sunday school teacher taught you that? He said, no, Mom. If I'd have told you what she taught us, you wouldn't have believed it. Somebody help me preach. The Bible said that he divided the waters. Have you ever been in a dark place? Have you ever been where you was at the edge of the Red Sea? Mountains were here. Mountains were there. Pharaoh was coming up your back. You didn't know what to do. But there was a God that intervened and divided your Red Sea. Hallelujah. The Bible said that God caused the east wind to come and part it. I studied that out with some big hurricane. And you say, well, that's a miracle. That ain't all the miracle. That water had been laying there for years. And they went across on dry ground. And by the way, the Bible said it stood up in a heap. Kids, I'm going to teach y'all something. Y'all going to like this. I'm about to like it myself. It stood up in a heap. Now, I did some research, Chad. The widest place in the Red Sea is 220 miles. The deepest place in the Red Sea is 9,970 feet. Now, some people believe that they went in the northern arm of the Red Sea at the Gulf of Suez. Then the liberals believe that he went in at the Sea of Reeds or the Reed Sea because it was shallow. Now that's amazing to me. They said it was only 3 inches deep. But well, it was a real big miracle then. How did he swallow up and cover up all Pharaoh's chariots and army in 3 inches of water? I'm going somewhere. I'm about to get happy here. See, but I want to give you a little geography. I personally believe it was at the Gulf of Aqaba. At that point in the Red Sea, it was 8 miles wide, and it was 1,000 feet deep. It had a, can I give you some more geography? It had a 6-inch slope. That slope went down gradually 6 inches. till it got in the middle, and it was 1,000 feet deep. And what God done, somebody help me. He lifted up the water. Now hold a minute. I don't think you got the miracle yet. Now let's, come here, Tyler. No dumb stuff. Just come here. Don't pull nothing on me. Now, if they'd have went across the Red Sea, shoulder to shoulder, like this, and walked across the Red Sea like this, if they'd have done that, Tyler, the line would have had to be 800 miles wide. And it would have took them 35 days. Thank you. They went through not in 35 days, that same day. Now, for that to happen, oh, dear God, you want to know about God's ability? Why would we ever say, can God? If that would happen, Lois, it would mean for that 3.5 million people to cross that night. That would mean that that water was divided for 3 miles. Hey, liberal. Hey, pinko. Don't you come and tell me I got a weak God. Don't you tell me we can't trust God. Don't you tell me that God ain't able. I want you to know if he parted the Red Sea, he can part whatever you need this morning. And then God's presence. If you read on down the chapter, he by daytime he led them with a cloud, and night by fire. How many's glad he's always with us? Amen. Thank God's provision. Now I want to give you this. I just want y'all to leave here believing how great our God is. See, I think right now we don't teach our children enough how great our God is. Amen. And they wonder by our faithless, unbelieving lives how there is a big God. Let me give it to you. You said, where did they get that much water? Well, how many remember Mount Horeb in the Bible? Did a little study on that, Tim. It's a good one. Mount Horeb actually is a mountain range, and there's one mountain there, hill there. It's 110 feet high. It has a rock on top of it that was about a 5-story high rock. And that rock, you can go to it today, and there is a trail through it that a man can walk through. And you say, what happened? That rock was divided, and a river came down through that rock. Somebody help me preach. You say, well, that's not much. Huh? Are you out of your pea-picking brain? You know how many gallons of water it took for the 3.5 million people for one day? 11 million gallons of water for one day. Oh, that's pretty good. And then 78:16, look at that. It said he brought streams out of the rock. How many of y'all believe that? And called water to run down like rivers. Look at verse 24. And he rained down manna upon them to eat. Lord God. You know how much manna that was? That was 2 million gallons of manna a day. Woo! And then in verse 27, are y'all watching? He rained flesh also upon them as dust. Y'all hear this? And feathered fowls. Like the sand of the sea. In other words, we found out later what that was in Exodus 16:13. They were quail. Listen, look here. Young people, look at this. Nobody fell paying attention, but y'all pay attention. Look at me. If one quail fed five people, do you know how many quails came a day? 750,000 quail showed up each day. And you and I sit in here and say, can God help me? Can God get me through? I just wonder if he's still able. I want to say on the behalf of the Word of God, he is able. And I want to tell you what that would be. 11 million gallons, that's a freight train 1,800 miles long. And every day he fed them. And a quartermaster general done the statistics, that would take 1,500 tons of food a day. Two freight trains, 1 mile long. Yet God done it. God was able. And why would they ever ask? Can God? Number two, and I'll move. Whew. That's pretty good, isn't it? But I want you to look at the next thought. Look at verse 19. Study it with me. Study it with me. Let's do it together. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, I've got to be honest with you. I ain't nothing but a wicked sinner like you. But I want you to know, that seems like a ridiculous statement. That statement leaves me speechless. And by the way, that's a bunch of us ask that on a daily basis. On how we live. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what the problem was. Look at verse 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. You know what our problem is? It's our unbelief. It's not his ability. It's not what God can do. It's our unbelief. I'll make a statement too about this. How defamatory their unbelief. They spake, they said. Now I know what some of y'all is thinking. That's a bunch of dirty, rotten people questioning God and speaking against God. That's defamatory. Hey, we might not say it with our lips. We don't say that with our lips, but we sure act like that in our actions. Why is it? Why is it when you have a trial, you go everywhere to fix it except to God? Why is it when we think we need a counsel, we find some friend that'll say anything good to us just to be our friend? When we got a mighty counselor, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. I'll tell you what our dirty, rotten secret in our life is. We don't speak it. We're too proud to do that. We got our suits on this morning. We look real good. But we act it. Our actions are defamatory. Am I preaching? Somebody help me if I'm preaching. Let me go on a minute. Not only was their action, was it defamatory, but it also was depreciatory. Yes? Look at verse 20. Behold, he smote the rocks. That water's gushed out. And the streams overflow. Can he get bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Here's what they were insinuating. They were insinuating there were some things beyond God's ability. Or they were depreciating God. Now, I know what you're doing right now. You're thinking, well, I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because there's sometimes in our lives when we're walking through a dark time, a black time, and we can't feel God, and we can't touch God, and we can't see God. But I want all y'all to know, somewhere in the shadows is a great God. And for us not to trust our problems with Him, it surprises me. And our doubt. Let's go over that scripture again in Ephesians 3:20. God is. You don't have to wonder about Him. He exists. He's co-eternal and co-identical. God is able. He's all-powerful. See what He's able to do. Anything. But He's more than that. He's exceedingly able to do exceedingly abundantly above we ask. We can't think too big. Here's what we do. Come on. Well, maybe y'all don't do it. So I'll be the only backslider here. We wring our hands, don't we, Lois? We think, I ain't going to make it. There ain't no way God can take care of this. I've been in some situations, you have too, that on paper, there's no way. Yet, my God is able. By the way, the best thing you could do is quit writing it down on paper to make you doubt. You just need to look up and trust. Am I preaching? I'm moving. It's not a long sermon this morning. I kind of like it though. What about this? Teenager, what if you say, can God? You're saying, listen to me, I pray for y'all every day. I know the hostility that you face in this public arena. Thank God some of you are in good schools. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't like that all over the country. Most of our kids are put down, mocked, for being a Christian. But I'll tell you, you got a God. He's able. Let me ask you a question. I'm rounding third. Can I ask you a question? You ever found yourself in deep doubt? None of you? God bless all y'all. Maybe each one of you get up here and preach. Because I found myself there. And you know why? I depreciated what God's ability was. I didn't give Him enough credit. See, the sister just sang, I've been through enough to know He's enough. For God's sake, we've all been through the valley of the shadow, and God brought us through. And if He can do it then, He can do it now. I'm done. Look at verse 21. How serious the disclosure of God's ability. See, they heard verse 3, and they didn't hide in verse 3. But I want you to know something. Look at verse 21. This scared me to death. Therefore the Lord heard this. Heard what? Then questioned Him. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So as fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. God's wrath was kindled against them. You know what it was? It wasn't their drinking. It wasn't their dope smoking. That's all bad. It wasn't them cheating on the wives. That's bad. No, sin's deeper than that. Sin's deeper than that. God got mad at them. Angry. Can I say this? You don't want God mad at you. Here's what, can I define sin for you? Can I do it this morning? This one blasted me right between the eyeballs. Here's what sin is. Instead of us going and taking a list this morning, Dave, we do that. You know, it's fundamentals. We'll call them. We'll call everybody sin out but ours. Good preaching. But let me give you a definition of sin. This one right here will hit us all between the eyes. You want to hear it, Lois? Whatsoever. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know if you got it. Listen. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when we don't trust Him. And by the way, why do sinners go to hell, Allison? It's not because they drink. It's not because they cuss. It's not because they're the worst people in the world. No, 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 no. It's because of their unbelief. I don't want to know what happens to us Christians. Why? Why are some of us still wandering out in the wilderness? You know what it said? We don't have enough faith to step in the water. Am I preaching? I'm closing. Then look at verse 41. I'm just going through the Bible. Right, Zach? Then it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Not only God's wrath was kindled, God's work was hindered. You say, can I hinder the work here? Oh, yeah, you can. Preacher, can you hinder the work here? Oh, yes, I can. You know how I can hinder the work here? By not trusting. When I came here, Lois, thank God they took care of me here. I'm thankful for it. They're good to me. I thank you for it. When I first come, I want y'all to know something. Marguerite and I came on faith. They can pay us. I asked myself, they told me what they're going to pay me. And my wife and I said, well, we can't live on that. That's what we said. And I said, no, we can't. She said, what are you going to do? I said, we're going. Amen. She said, what? Remember that, honey, that discussion? What it was, I full of faith for a minute, and she was full of unbelief, and then turned it around. How many families been there? And she said, well, if you believe it's God's will, we bear God. I said, we going. I never forget, there's a guy in this church, and I won't say who he is. He knows who he is. I went to a revival where he was attending. I remember. We was down on our bills about $300. And I had a gas guzzler that a deacon sold me. No harm to him. And it was on fumes. I went, oh, brother, that first night revival, you don't give nobody no money on the first night of a revival. I want you to know, this young man who ain't of age put some money in my pocket. Now, don't let any preacher ever say it. You know, some of us say, spiritual, I don't look. Buddy, I didn't get in the car And I had my hand in the pocket. And I looked down. And when I saw that, I repented. I repented. I said, God, I'm such an awful person. I didn't even believe. I was scared to death to come because I was afraid this thing's going to run out of gas. In hard times. We paid all of our bills for that month. That young man has since come to our church. And he's been one of my best friends ever. Oh, you might be here questioning. Let's go through about three of them. Can God save me? I don't care what you've done, how old you are, how far you're away. I got a God that said, whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved.
Amen.
Let's ask another one. Can God supply me? My God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. By Christ. We got people in here going through it. Can God sustain me? His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Have you caught yourself? Teenagers, ever caught yourself? Can God take care of this problem? Can God handle this? Can God forgive my sin? I say to you, we should not be asking, can God? But we ought to be saying, Lois, get to the panel, please. God can. Let's not say, can God? Let's all do it. Let's do a little exercise. Let's don't say, can God? But with me, will you do it? Repeat with me. God can. Oh, come on. Better than that. Come on.
God can.
Do it again.
God can.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
He can. Stand with me. Unsaved man, unsaved woman, you ought to be up this altar. I ought not have to plead with you. You're lost and on your way to hell, going to burn forever. If you come, God can save you. Christians, how many of you's hurting? How many of you's going through something? You've asked the question, can God? Would you come? Our Father, thank you for the liberty I've helped this morning. Help now in Jesus' name. Amen.